There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
It's official. Benjamin Netanyahu stays still the Prime Minister of Israel, despite reports of his demise. The voters have spoken. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. So, the PM promising to build a national camp coalition as soon as possible. And exit polls show that it's one of the highest turnouts since 1999, 71.8%. Polling stations open at 7 a.m. on Tuesday, and the Israeli citizens headed to the ballots to vote for Israel's PM. Polls from the end of last week had options looking like it would be a tight race, but how about that? Netanyahu vying for the role of his fourth time, and he made a last-ditch effort, attempt, over the past couple of days to win back voters who seemed like they were not going to vote for him. And how about that? So the race between the two unions there, the Zionist and the Likud, that's what they're called, and the two factions, too close to call, but the exit polls show Netanyahu clearly had placed much better and built up the coalition. So there you go. Celebratory speech. He said it was a victory against the odds, a victory for our people. Coming up in our next hour of America Tonight, we'll talk to Luke Vargas, who is in Tel Aviv, covering those elections. And he'll add more flavor to that. Coming up this hour, we talk with Dan Perkins. Previous to officially just knowing what the results would be, we brushed over a little bit over Netanyahu, but most of the focus is on Iran. So how about that? Because it did look pretty tight in all the polls that they were releasing. So Netanyahu's visit to the United States apparently didn't hurt him as badly as so many thought that it would. Remember, the president didn't want to appear like he was favoring Netanyahu, so never even had a visit with him. But in Congress, they applauded Netanyahu 59 times. They were up and down and up and down. So it appears that that didn't damage him as much as so many political talking heads thought that it possibly could. And it didn't. Meanwhile, other things that are brewing in this nation, things that we talk about in your hamlet and mine and everywhere else, I'll tell you, it's a wonder that fraternities are going to be, I think, by the end of the decade, will they even be standing? Because now you've got a Penn State frat, this is on the heels of the whole SAA thing, you have a Penn State frat subpoenaed over some Facebook pages with nude pictures, saying that the people in the picture didn't realize, so here we go again, probably with drugs and whatever else happened there. Now there's a lot of cause for concern as to what's going on. I mean, listen, there's always been drinking and debauchery and things that happen with young people when they go to college, but does the fraternity system, you know, breed that or not? As somebody who went to a college that was heavily, had, you know, lots of Greeks in the Greek system, and I was one of them, we had lots of protection from the guys. We had friends from all over the map, but that's typical of me because I don't like labels. So, you know, we had friends that were in sports, friends that smoked pot, friends that studied a lot and were kind of eggheads. It didn't seem to matter, right? But it's a different world now because I think of the kinds of drugs that are available and the fact that the date rape drugs have also become so prevalent where, you know, they're being put into, in some instances, they're being put into drinks and the unknowing victim has really no clue and becomes rubber-legged and out of it not too long after throwing back a couple of those drinks. It's just a shame. And I wonder for people who have daughters going off to college, what kind of things do you tell them? Don't be paranoid. Don't fear. You're a good kid, but don't let anybody put anything in any drink that you don't have yourself in your hand. Be careful. Travel in pairs. Something like that. I'm not sure. But Penn State back in the news. Not the only one either, because I'm sure there are other schools, in fact, that may end up in the middle of this same thing. And even the SAEs, who had the problem with the chanting and the terrible song that was sung, they're saying that they're going to have stricter guidelines, and nationally they're trying to do what they can to make up for that moment by some people who obviously clearly were inebriated and have apologized, and it's turned into just a huge, huge thing right now, as it should be. You shouldn't be, I mean, the whole idea of half-naked girls who have things slipped in drinks, and there's a reason for that. Very, very worrisome, to say the least. In the meantime, speaking of worrisome, the White House, while we're discussing all of this earlier in the day, had a letter that was tested positive for cyanide. Now, this is kind of what is expected. Things could come in the mail, and so they're always looking for that. Nobody was hurt, but it did reach the White House, and it did have cyanide. So somebody was trying to obviously send that, and it didn't work out for them, thank goodness. And then there's this, dovetailing on that one. The congressman who had nothing but a bright future, was only 34 years old, had a voice in his party, had a chance of becoming perhaps even the Speaker of the House, but Congressman Aaron Schock, Republican from Illinois, very charismatic, you know, bared, speaking of nudes, bared his chest in Men's Health. It was in incredible shape and was well-liked, versed on issues, all that kind of stuff. So now he's resigned because there have been news reports that go beyond how much money was spent on the Downton Abbey-like decor in his office. Instead, there are also other things that are being reported. You know, he had this renovation, which was modeled after the PBS television show Downton Abbey, and then there have been reporters who have looked into this deeper after doing the first initial story, and they found that he had spent more than $100,000 on a previous office remodeling with leather furniture and hardwood floors, and ultimately reimbursed taxpayers for $40,000 of the cost and paid the designer $5,000 more. But now there's allegations that one of the things that he did was he claimed 170,000 miles on his car, and it was nowhere near that, of course. It was, you know, 75,000. So he says he's stepping down because the constant questions over the last 6 weeks are too much of a distraction. It's made it too difficult for him to serve the people of the 18th District in Illinois with the standards that they deserve and which I have set for myself. Hang with us, mailbag, on the flip side. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Thanks for hanging with us here on ATN. Getting a lot of questions about how can we reach you. It's easy to reach out and touch this show, folks. AmericaTonight.net. Many of you have found that path. We're going to go to the mailbag in a second here, but first want to throw it open. Netanyahu winning the election, 855-266-5283. What's interesting, though, is that, remember, it's the two unions, as I said. The other union is the fact that you have had, that you had so many Arabs who ended up with seats, because this is the full-on election, and this is something that we're going to talk about with Dan Perkins in the Iran-Iraq situation, something that he says nobody's talking about, but just specifically on this Israel thing, it's pretty interesting some of the other numbers when you look at them and how they shook out. It wasn't just strictly about Netanyahu with the fourth term. It stretches well beyond that. Let's go to Tomas. Hello, Tomas.
Hi, Kate. How are you tonight?
I'm good. How about you?
Well, all right. You have a good St. Paddy's Day?
I did. I didn't really do much of anything, which is unusual, but there was other things I had to do. So it was good, though. It's always good when it's St. Patrick's Day.
I tell you what, if you're Jewish and you're celebrating St. Patrick's Day in Israel, you're having a really good day. Especially if you're from the Likud party, you know? But yeah. I posted something on your Facebook there because it's really interesting. What no one is telling you is that last time Likud had 31 votes. This time they have 30. But if you look at the Arab coalition, and Netanyahu was really worried about that because he said that they were busing people to the polls. And what does that remind you of, right? Right here in Acorn and Obama?
Yeah.
Huh? And the Arab coalition, last time they had 4 votes. This time they're going to have 13. So the Arabs went up from 4 to 13, and the Likud went down from 31 to 30. So I'm just saying, if they don't take care of Iran soon, they won't have the votes to take care of Iran, because the Arabs will make a coalition with, you know, some of the more progressive, left wing leading kumbaya Jews over there in Israel, and that'll be it. Now, I know you've got a lot of contacts.
And we're talking about that next. It's interesting that you say that, because that's one of the big major themes that we're going to talk about with Dan Perkins, exactly, Tomas, what you just said. And ultimately, what is Iran doing, and what does that mean with that power grab and for all the other countries in the Middle East, and especially when we're talking about the Arab world. So you nailed it. That's exactly a big part of what we're talking about, and that's something
ask Mr. Perkins then about that increase in the Arab coalition, because
shoulders. It's a short run up.
Whoops.
What was that?
We were temporarily interrupted by a rugby game that broke out in the middle.
Wow. I thought Netanyahu was getting on there. Had the Mossad come in.
Yeah, somebody came in to shut us down.
Ask that guy about the Arab coalition, because it's really a convoluted way they got of combining parties. You could, like, your party could win but still lose because two other parties would end up having more than you do, and then the population of the Arabs, how is that? Is that increasing in Israel, you know? Are they having more babies? Because, you know, if you don't vote, too bad, you know? If you got 10 kids and they all vote and your next-door neighbor has 2 kids, oh, well. Anyway,
boy, isn't that the truth. Absolutely.
So anyway, I'm just going to hang up then, because you're going to have a pro on there.
And
it's better for the show if we get it from the horse's mouth. So have a good night, Kate.
Hey, you too, Tomas. Thanks. And actually, you made that great observation that he does talk about, and ultimately, even more specifically, what's happening with Iran and how they're helping Iraq, and what's that about in defeating ISIS, and it's, you know, more territory for them. And if you think about the religious butting of heads, that's pretty amazing, but there's a definite reason for it. So that's with Dan Perkins. And don't forget, next hour we're going to check in with Luke Vargas, who was there in Israel for what happened in these elections and the reaction to it. All right, an abbreviated version of the mailbag. Let's go there now.
You have mail, mistress.
This one from Arvin, who says, Kate, schlock, shock. What an idiot. First, he over-decorates his office to look like a woman's office. No offense. What was he doing throwing up Downton Abbey replicas? Then you let the TV crews in. They talk about how extravagant it is, and he slurks it off. And, of course, he's going to put a red flag over his head. So now another one bites the dust. Somebody who really actually seemed pretty bright and on top of things and willing to work with Democrats when he could. So that's, I think, a big loss for the Republican Party. It's a big loss in the sense that people liked him, his constituents liked him. He did have some ideas. He was just starting to make some noise because he, you know, was 27 when he was elected. But cars that you say had 170,000 miles on it, then you go and look and it's, you know, less than 80,000 miles. Come on. And then a few other things as well. They're looking into other travel expenses, and, you know, the rules are pretty strict, and that's why when they're broken, if the person's smart, they get out of it, and or they end up paying the price by doing you know, prison time like our friend Bob Ney did, although some of what happened with him was a setup. Regardless, if it's your office and you're filing the numbers, you're going to be the one that gets pinched. You're going to be the one that gets pinched. All right, this one from Steve, who says, Kate, what is going on with John Boehner? I actually wonder how much time he spends in a tanning bed. Perhaps that killed some of his brain cells. One day he's in, one day he's out, one day he's talking about being tough on immigration, the next day he's letting everything go to the wind. I just don't get this guy. And somehow he hangs on to the speaker's gig. Somehow he manages to hang on. Maybe he has friends in high, high places. Well, he's in a high position. And I understand what you're saying about not understanding or getting Boehner, because occasionally we do catch him in that situation where he's saying one thing and then the tides change, with the fates and fortunes change, and that's what'll do it to you. This one from Clay, who says, hey, Kate, filling out those brackets, it's not so easy to try to decide which direction you're going to go in, is it? Although I don't see how Kentucky gets knocked out. I'm not even sure what team could do that. What teams do you think are hot heading into the tournament? Well, I'll tell you what. The team I really like is Wisconsin. I like Villanova. The Wildcats won 15 games. And granted, they weren't all great opponents, but they ended up with the number one seed. And at the tail end of the season, that's when you want to peak, and they look super good. Iowa State, that's another team. They peaked late, a little bit late, I'll say it. I'll call it that. But, you know, they look good to me heading into this. Kentucky, of course, how could you say the Wildcats aren't in the mix? They are a perfect season, a perfect record. Arizona's another team that could be tough in this, and you know, they run and gun it all the way, every single second on that court, from the little bit I've been able to see of Arizona. Notre Dame, some people are picking Notre Dame to go a little bit further, and maybe, because you got to think about it, they got rid of, or I'll say they beat, Duke and North Carolina. Tobacco Row, knocking them off, claiming the title. Yeah, I say that's a big deal. Coming up, Dan Perkins and you on the flip side.
Pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason!
Going once, twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
By now, you may have heard a bit about Bitcoins. But did you know Bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive Bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for Bitcoin. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit Escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Tonight we've been talking about the big election, of course, in Israel and what's going to happen there. And besides that, dovetailing into the situation in Iran, obviously, massive drama here. And so you've got the Jewish elections. You've got John Kerry, who says, this is going to happen. We're pushing. And a lot of crazy sidebar things that are all part of this mix of the quicksand in the Middle East. Dan Perkins joins us again. He is a writer and author of the Brotherhood of the Red Nile trilogy. We've talked about that. And it centers around Islamic nuclear terrorism against the U.S. And he's also a nationally recognized expert on radical Islam. Dan, thanks for coming back on America Tonight.
Thank you for having me on again, Kate.
So let's dive back into, because you've said some really fascinating things here when we've had these discussions, at where we are with this situation you know, in Iran. You've got John Kerry and the Iranian foreign minister that had five-hour talks in Switzerland before the delegation went to Brussels for meetings with the European ministers. So what do you make of what will happen here? Is there going to be some kind of a non-binding nuclear agreement in the end?
Well, the rumors are that where they are really far apart and not able to come to terms, at least so far, is how many centrifuges can Iran have? And in addition to that, how much plutonium and enriched uranium can they store? Those are still on the table, and Iran seems to be not wanting to give. So that the trial balloon that was floated late last week was, well, we're making progress and we're going to extend the talks to June to try and come up with a deal. So the reason they're going to do that is that they can't come to terms on a deal by the March 31st deadline or 24th, depending on who you read. They will have something, at least the president will have some cover to try and prevent the Congress from rattling the saber about wanting to impose new sanctions on Iran. One day you hear the administration say it's 50-50. Another said we're making progress. As you pointed out in your introduction, they spent 5 hours talking. I can't imagine spending 5 hours talking to John Kerry, but that's a whole other story. I think there's an underneath story that nobody's covering.
What's the underneath story?
The underneath story that nobody's covering, or not to the magnitude that they're covering the nuclear talks, is what Iran is doing in support of Iraq to attack ISIL and Tikrit. They actually have now more troops on the ground engaged in this than Iraq does. And I think what's going on here is this is quote, cooperation between Iraq and Iran, and which is hard to believe between Shia and Sunni, but let's say that that's true. I think the underneath story here is that Iran is engaging in this process because they want to control Iraq and Syria and get rid of ISIL. They want ISIL to be absorbed, if you would, into the Iran scheme. I mean, look at all the other countries that Iran is already controlling the government of the people. And so what they're doing is they're piece by piece, they're building a kingdom, if you would, surrounding Saudi Arabia and they're surrounding Israel. And so I think that if they can get Iraq and Syria under their control by manipulating ISIL and taking it over, they will get Iran will get Iraq and Syria. And not necessarily destroy ISIL, but form a merger of parties. And so I think Iran is actually looking, is more interested in getting more control of the nations in the Middle East, more territory, more space, than they are necessarily in trying to get an agreement.
So which would ultimately give them the power. They could switch and become the power base.
That's why it's, as I said, it's an underneath story that nobody's talking about yet, because they're focused on the five-hour peace talks. But and here's the key, is that it appears that the surprise non-notification of the U.S. and the diplomats of the U.S. when Iraq struck out to get to Tikrit has apparently bogged down. If they cannot take ISIS out of Tikrit, they got no chance of taking him out of Mosul, which I believe if this thing continues to be bogged down, you're going to see Iran come in and take a stronger and stronger role in putting more and more of their resources to try and break the ISIL people in decree in exchange for control.
Wow. Boy, that's something to watch, because on your hit list of who to be concerned about, how concerned would you be, Dan, if that played out that way?
I would be very concerned, because I really, in my heart of hearts, only by guts, I believe, as I've studied this for a long time, I don't think Iran really wants a deal, unless they can get a deal totally on their terms. And I think that the president is willing to make a deal on anybody's terms just to get a deal. But then he's going to have a problem with the American Congress, who thinks that they have a constitutional right to pass on this treaty, which Secretary Kerry said before the Senate, no, you don't. Constitution clearly under Article 2, Section 2 says that the Senate has the right to confirm. And so the 47 senators who wrote the letter to the Ayatollahs basically was saying, okay, if the president signs this memorandum of understanding, it doesn't carry the weight of law in the United States, and that a subsequent president can get rid of it, and you won't have a 10-year treaty. You'll have, could be 2 years. And so I think they are concerned about what's going on with Miss Hillary and whether she is going to be the candidate. Can she survive? Can she win if she's Danby's goods and there's nobody? I thought the hoot of the day, guess who's riding on this white horse to try and save the Democratic Party to possibly run for president? You know who it is, don't you?
Yeah, I do know who it is. And that would be brutal.
Yeah. But let me tell you the other thing that I picked up. Again, I haven't seen much about in the Israeli election since you started there. The Herzog formed an alliance, and I have to tell you, I'm not really good with a lot of these Middle Eastern names, but Khazifi was a woman who was the head of another party, a group of people, and they struck an alliance. And the deal was, he would serve for the first 2 years of the 4-year term, he would resign, and she would take over for the second 2 years. And so this is how they were trying to attract attention and get people to vote for the pair, kind of co-prime ministers, if you would. And so that by bringing her in and him in, it created a little bit of a problem, because a lot of his people didn't like her, and a lot of her people didn't like him because they thought he was not liberal enough. But they agreed to an alliance. They campaigned until last night, when Herzog threw her under the bus and said, no, we're not going to do that. I will be the prime minister for 4 years. So, you know, how do you take, it's like saying, Hillary's going to run for president. She's going to have Bill, she's going to have Al Gore as her vice president. And the night before the election, she says, no, I'm not going to use Gore. I'm going to use somebody else. So, and I know that's in a kind of an absurd illustration, but that's what happened last night. And the fact that this guy appears to have panicked and perhaps maybe has misread the electorate, not everybody knew that he threw her under the bus, so that there were assumptions that she was going to be with him, and that was attracting. The other thing is the story that was fascinating about this, that the Obama administration through the State Department granted $350,000 to a group in Israel who was specifically trying to defeat Benjamin Netanyahu. And so our government was using our tax dollars to try and help finance this campaign to get the prime minister from being elected. So you talk about odds and ends and crazy pieces. I just look at it and say, it hurts my brain sometimes to think about all the things that are going on over there. And you know, and then there was the article in the New York Times on Sunday where there was money, a secret money given by the CIA to Pakistan to pay ransom, and we never pay. I mean, it's crazy. And, you know, you wonder who's in charge. And I'm not sure that I know who's in charge.
All right, Dan, hold that thought. We're going to have you answer on the flip side. Stay with us on America Tonight.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
So who else will you meet at the Get Prepared Expo? For starters, from Republic Broadcasting, John Moore and John Statmiller. From GCN, Aaron and Brad Dakins, Joyce Riley, and me, Vincent Finelli. Joining us are the instructors whom you've learned to trust. Surgeon of the Year, Dr. Norman Shuley. Engineer, Matt Stein. The real Fox Mulder of the X-Files, Dr. Richard Allen Miller. Author and analyst, Captain John Reagan. Your counterterrorist from Central America, Mike Ma. Dental center owner and my dentist, Dr. Howard Shane. Radiation instructor, Craig Douglas. Author and survivalist, Rich Sheban. Author, Judy Dollarheit. Cancer center owner from Mexico, Dr. Patrick Vickers. Bug out expert and pilot, Captain Bill Sermo. Beekeeper, Jeff Maddox. Seedsman, Mike Knox. Author, Gayla Pruitt. Author, Harry Cooper. Food expert, Joe Acapinti. And Bill Whaley, the junk man. March 27, 28, and 29. GetPreparedExpo.com, the largest preparedness and survival expo in the USA.
Are you hungry for delicious, nutritious, rich, and satisfying home-cooked meals? Discover the Vita Clay 4-in-1 Smart Organic Cooker. Unglazed Zeesha Clay, an ancient secret that makes this fast multi-cooker so special. Infusing your food with incredible flavors, perfect texture, vitamins, and minerals for your good health. It's a slow cooker, rice cooker, a steamer, plus a yogurt maker. Go to VitaClayChef.com and enter promo code RADIO20 for 20% off at checkout. That's VitaClayChef.com.
By now, you've heard about Bitcoins, but did you know that over 65,000 businesses accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co, because at BidBit.co, you can receive Bitcoin by selling your personal items or business products. You heard right, whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your products quickly, easily, and securely at BidBit.co. That's BidBit.co. BidBit.co.
We're continuing our discussion with Dan Perkins here on ATN. Dan, pick it up where we just left off.
Maybe you have a different opinion than me, but I don't see how Hillary recovers from the last 2 weeks. I just don't see that because
I think she's sort of Teflon, but now because there's so many Democrats bailing on her and there's that weird thing happening in, well, I don't really want to play on her team and I want to defend her. I think that that's really hurting her, and it's giving the opening big time for the Republicans to get their act together.
So if Hillary is damaged good, who do the Democrats have to run other than Al Gore?
That's a good question. I mean, who would they run?
How about Pocahontas?
How about Elizabeth Warren? I think they would push her into that, but I don't know that she wants it, the senator from Massachusetts.
Yeah, I call her Pocahontas.
I get it. Oh, that makes sense. She is like Pocahontas.
She's 164th, supposedly 164th American native, but anyway, I mean... People that I've heard describe her as being, if it's possible, left of Obama.
Oh yeah, absolutely. She would like make Barbara Boxer almost look like a conservative light.
Yes.
Yeah, crazy.
So are you surprised at how the Democrats are bailing?
I am. I am surprised. Are you?
I was surprised that the major newspapers, the New York Times and the Washington Post, would write any articles disparaging to her.
Yeah.
But the New York Times broke the story initial on the emails, the first major paper to have it. But I just think it's really a tough situation. And, you know, if you have a chance, I would like you to do one thing for me. When you have a chance, I don't know where you find it on the internet. If I find it, I'll get it to your producer. But look around and see if you can watch the, was it 12 or 15 minute press conference she had at the UN?
Oh yeah, I saw it. Mm-hmm.
Okay, but I want you to go back and look at it again with a little different perspective. Okay?
Uh huh.
Watch it and watch her eyes. What you will find, at no time in the news conference did she ever look at the camera square. She looked left and right and up and down, but never looked the American people straight in the eye.
You know what? Because I saw that end to end, I will go back and look at it, but I think you're absolutely right, because she would look at notes, she'd turn her head a lot, she was moving her head to the right, to the left, but she was never front and center.
No, she never looked at the camera, which meant she never looked at the audience. Now, you'd think she'd learned something from Bill when Bill stood up there and looked at the camera and shook his finger when he said, "I never had sex with that woman." But she just doesn't have the style. So I know we're out of time here, but let me ask you a real quick question. Do you think the government will get the yes server?
I don't think so, no. I don't think they will.
I mean,
you know, the Clintons, somehow, though, something will come up. Somebody said the other day, somebody called in and said, you wait and see, there's going to be a fire.
Let me tell you what I think was on the server and still may be on the server. And that is communications between her and the president, her telling the president she does not have the stamina and the strength to handle the Iranian negotiations. She has to leave.
Well, that would be a major blow. That would be the end of the whole presidential run, I'd have to say, if they found things like that.
And that's why she doesn't want to notify, because I believe she was talking to her doctors through the internet while she was trying to be Secretary of State. And I think that's one of the reasons why she had her own server. I mean, I understand that it's possible for cabinet officers to have a commercial email service.
Right.
I have never heard of any cabinet officer that had their own server.
No.
There's a big difference between using a commercial server and having your own server.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think they'll get that server. I don't think so, because they would have had to get it right away. Trust me, there's enough time that they'll come up with some cockamamie thing. I can't believe they'll get it. Crazy. Dan Perkins, always great talking to you. Pick up his books. He's the best. The Brotherhood of the Red Nile Trilogy, Amazon.com. Thanks, Dan. We'll talk to you again down the road.
Thank you. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, so we come off the heels of that, and coming into next hour, we're going to talk to Luke Vargas, who is in Tel Aviv in Israel, about Netanyahu, who just blew by the rival in that Israeli election, despite the fact that so many thought this was going to be just an incredibly tight election. And hey, the polls showed it. The polls showed that it looked really close, but polls in this case weren't right. It was close, and then Netanyahu pulled away ultimately to win his fourth election as Prime Minister of Israel. So now, what does that mean, and how are the people in Israel feeling, especially those who didn't want to see Netanyahu in there, didn't like his hardline stance, especially over the Palestinians, and not wanting to create a two-state union, if you will, and that's what the opponent was pushing for. So his conservative party had a massive lead over the opposition party in the elections, and the complete results, pretty much, I was pouring through some of those, show that he was absolutely the guy. And Netanyahu's party is on track to win 30 seats in a 120-seat parliament. So there you go. He lagged in the polls in the beginning, and some were talking about his demise, but the opposition leader, Herzog, didn't concede, by the way, until he said he didn't concede and said he will try to form a governing coalition. So he said he wanted to make every effort to put together a true social welfare-minded government for Israel that will seek peace with our neighbors, because that was the whole idea. That was what he was running on. So the atmosphere had to be pretty interesting, because the voter turnout was 71.8%. That's up from 67%. Pretty darn good. And the exit polls, because they do that, say that Netanyahu's party was doing better than everything that had been indicated, and showed that a lot of the voters were willing to give the prime minister another term, despite the crazy feud that he had with the president over Iran's nuclear program and some other things that maybe some didn't agree with in Israel. They still wanted Netanyahu in the end. And by the way, in the closing days, he moved further to the right to really solidify his base, the hard right voters, the hard right wing in that country, and to do what he could. He said he would block the establishment of a Palestinian state, which was a reversal from past statements. And a lot of the international community, of course, doesn't want to see that. They keep pushing for a two-state solution to the issue. And he tried to really pull in supporters or voters by warning his leadership was in jeopardy, because Israeli Arab voters were turning out in droves to oppose him. Arabs, by the way, make up 20% of the Israeli population. Did you know it was that high? But 20%. So how about that? 9 years as the prime minister, and this is a referendum on Netanyahu. You have to say that. Because you think of what he did in the past 2 weeks. He infuriated the American president. He maybe jeopardized some of the bipartisan support that Israel had in the United States by speaking to Congress at the invitation of so many Republicans. John Boehner, of course, really inking the letter. But just goes to show you, until the votes are counted, you never know. Thanks for listening to America Tonight.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturing manufacturers. If you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.